Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Thank you guys for having me. This is actually the first time I've done a talk twice, so I can do it. So Sunday the 1st of February, well done everyone, you survived January. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's such a long, dark month at times, and the storms we've had and everything. It's so good to be here, and it's such a joy to be at Belfast City Vineyard. So as Alan said, my name's Chantel. I'm married to Paul. We have three children. Sam is 22, and he is far away in New Zealand. Owen is 20. He's still at home with us in Carrickfergus, and Hope is 18, and she kindly came here with me today to cheer me on. So thank you, Hope. So we planted Carrickfergus Vineyard Church 15 years ago. And before I share a little bit about that and what's on my heart, I want to say something to you guys at Belfast City Vineyard and your leaders, because this church has always supported us and our church since day one. Andy and Harmony are exceptional leaders. They're so generous with their time, their wisdom, and their resources, and they're so passionate about seeing God move in this church, in this community, in this city, and across our island, and that is such a blessing. Alan and Laurie, I have asked them many questions over the years, picked up the phone, picked their brains. They've always shared their wisdom and experience, and I'm so grateful, and others in this church along the way. This church is a special place. You guys are part of a kingdom community who just loves Jesus and wants to make him known, and that is so precious. So I just wanted to, since I've got the microphone, say thank you to Belfast City Vineyard. So 15 years ago, we planted in Carrickfergus, and that is near where I'm from, which is a little seaside town called Whitehead. But I also have an affinity to this place, this part of town, because I went to school around here. I went to Belfast Royal Academy, otherwise known as BRA, and I met loads of different people at that school. And it also helped me realize I spread my wings from the little East Antrim coastline, came to the big smoke, and realized that actually this is quite a difficult place to be. I'm actually going to age myself now, because I went to school in the late 80s and early 90s, and we weren't allowed to walk from school on the Cliff and Mill Road down to York Street train station. We had to get the school bus. And the one time I did do that and walked down Dunkern Gardens, I got a slap round the head for wearing a BRA uniform, which wasn't fun, and I did not try that again. So I know a little bit about this area. Also, my brother Peter has cared for this area for 25 years now, because he runs Ballysillan Youth for Christ, otherwise known as the Blue Houses. Some of you might know it's not far from here. So when I heard that you guys had got this space in Belfast City Vineyard, was going to be in this part of Belfast, I just thought, well, that is wonderful. This is the kingdom coming to this place, and it's so good. So here's a little picture of us on our 15th church birthday last year. We planted our church, and we had an idea of what we wanted our church to be. Obviously, we wanted it to have Vineyard values. We wanted to have intimate worship. We wanted to be open to the Holy Spirit, passionate about the word, care for the poor and the broken, care about the kingdom of God coming here on earth, that everyone would get to play their part of that. But for us, we also had this phrase, which was come as you are, because we felt aware that sometimes in church, and hopefully I can say this as I'm from here, in this country especially, sometimes people feel like they come to church and they have to, like, maybe put on a face. They have to feel look like everything's okay and not really always be honest about what's going on in life. And we did not want that for our church. So our friend Phil designed this logo to represent that 15 years ago, Come As You Are. We also wanted to be a place of hope where people's lives could be changed by Jesus. So effectively we're saying, come as you are, but don't stay as you are. And I found the old slide that we had when I was preparing. That's what he put together for us, come as you are. And a lot of this that we felt like God was calling our church to be was based on Isaiah 61. And I'm going to read verse 1 to 3 to you now. But we also knew Jesus used that passage from Isaiah and what we might call his manifesto in Luke 4. When he's tested in the wilderness, he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. He opens the scroll in the synagogue and he uses Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. For me, that's what I want to be about and what I want our church to be about. I've also done some counselling training, so that is what my heart longs for. And I do believe we've seen that over the years. We've seen people come to our church, they've been hurting, broken. Sometimes that has been church hurt. And they've encountered Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. They've met with him in worship, in community, in life groups, through his word, through prayer ministry, through therapy too, and also through friendship and the love of God's people. But recently, I've been feeling a stirring. I've been feeling that there is more. And I've been coming to the Lord with this question. And the question is, what does freedom look like? So I got a post-it note, wrote freedom in block capitals, put it on my desk, and I was like, right, Lord, what does freedom look like? And I've been thinking about that and want to share a little with you guys this morning. So of course, I did the right thing. I went to the scripture, thought, where is freedom mentioned in scripture? And of course, I came across 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 18. For whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So I thought, this is good, right? The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We're Vineyard people. We love the Holy Spirit, and we can be open to him. But it feels like there's an invitation here that we need to step into, an invitation to turn to the Lord. It says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And the veil being referred to here is the veil that Moses would put over his face in the Old Testament to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of the glory of the Lord as he passed by, because even that would be too much. But now, because of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, we can draw near to God. We can approach him with unveiled faces, and we can contemplate his glory. Earlier in the chapter, it says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face. And we read about that in Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our hour of need. So as I thought of freedom and I thought, what does freedom look like? It looks like an invitation. It's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to nearness with God. Can freedom happen at a distance? I actually don't believe it can. So it would appear there is freedom with the Spirit of the Lord as we turn towards him with these unveiled faces and contemplate his glory. So why does it sometimes not feel like that? Why do we not always experience freedom? Why don't we come? Why don't we approach with confidence? Why aren't we bold? Why don't we accept this invitation? And one thing I have noticed over the years is there can be fear. Fear of what happens when I really turn to God and he shows up. Fear of what it means to be open to the Holy Spirit. Can I trust what happens when I turn towards him? And if I'm being honest, as I reflected back, this is my story. Because I became a Christian when I was 14, three friends at school at BRA. And with one of them, I ended up going to a church, quite a traditional church. And I don't ever really remember hearing much about the Holy Spirit or freedom or anything like that. And then I went to Queen's University in Belfast. And again, I'm going to date myself here a little bit. Because there was a thing going on around that time that some of you may have heard of called the Toronto Blessing. It was at a church in Canada. It began in 1994. And it was talked about as a Christian revival. There was a move of the Holy Spirit. There was intense, spontaneous worship, laughter, weeping, shaking, miraculous healings, connected at that time with Vineyard. And many people across the world actually went there to see and experience what the Lord was doing. And if you're interested in that, you can read about it a little more in an honest book about Vineyard called The Quest for the Radical Middle, which explains about some of our church history. So there was these meetings going on in Belfast when I was a student, and people were talking about the Holy Spirit a lot. And for me, I just had no experience of this. I had no frame of reference. It was totally outside my comfort zone. And I remember saying to some of my Christian friends, well, I'm not going to any of those things like that. No way. I even said the words, the Holy Spirit is not for me. God has other ideas, obviously. So I resisted that. I put it away in its box and just said, not for me, not interested. So I actually studied modern languages at university. So in the summer of third year, my friend and I headed off to Chile in South America to practice our Spanish. Well, actually, it was for me to practice my Spanish because she'd grown up there. She was a missionary kid. She'd lived there till she was 13, so her Spanish was pretty good. But we went there and we stayed with different people and met some of the people that she'd grown up with over 6 weeks. And while we were there, we went to the church that her family had been a part of in Santiago in the capital. And I remember just being in that church service and I just began to weep. And I just cried my way through the whole service. And at the end, they were offering to pray for me and they were asking, are you okay? Like, are you homesick? Like, what's going on? I was like, no, I'm not homesick. I can't tell you what's going on. I just don't know. And they prayed for me and I just fell back. And I just experienced the Lord. I experienced the Holy Spirit. And I knew, I just knew that that was God. And I did not need to be afraid. So that really shifted something for me in my understanding of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, after university, I went to a church in England called Soul Survivor, and there was incredible worship. There was an openness to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people were talking about inner healing, and there was an invitation to always come and receive freedom as we seek God's face and be in his presence. And I spent 6 months there, and the Holy Spirit changed my life. I just received such freedom and healing in his presence through worship, through prayer ministry, which I was now open to, on Sundays after church and with wise people who would just sit with me and listen to me and pray with me. And during that time, I just said to the Lord, you know, I'll go wherever you want to finish university. I've got these languages. And Every week, every Sunday, every meeting I was in, all my times with the Lord, he just kept speaking to me about here, about this place, about our home, this land, Ireland. And I spent a lot of those services just standing, weeping, interceding in the presence of the Lord, with him breaking my heart for this place. And that's what happens. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And when we turn towards him with those unveiled faces, he changes us to be more like him. He reveals his heart to us. He breaks our heart for what breaks his. And we can take off our masks. We can be vulnerable. We can come as we are. And I just want to say to you guys this morning, if anyone's feeling like that, you don't need to be afraid. You can trust him, and God is good and he's kind and he knows what you need. Another reason I found over the years that perhaps we don't always access the freedom is because we don't know how, or we're not sure who to do that with. But we really do need other people to make sense of our story. You know, we only know what we know, don't we? We have our own stories. We have our own assumptions. We have the story we tell ourselves. You know, whatever you grew up with, whatever I grew up with, that was just our life, wasn't it? That was all we knew. That was our normal. But to fully understand ourselves, I believe we need other people to speak into our stories. And that's why we need community, we need church family, we need those open relationships where we can share with each other just beyond the everyday into what is really going on in our hearts. So freedom looks like not just an invitation to be unveiled before God, but also in relationship with trusted other people. And I've experienced that over the years. I've received freedom because of wonderful people who love Jesus and were willing to hear my story and to share theirs as well. And as I've opened up, they've been open with me. And I just know that God has brought me to the right places at the right time with the right people. And I believe he will provide that for each and every one of us. And to be honest, there's been things that have made me doubt that at times. Question the past, question what the Lord has done, especially recently. A couple of years ago, Paul and I were fortunate to be able to go on sabbatical for a couple of months, and we were receiving some spiritual direction. And the lady who was doing it with us got us to write down each decade of our lives to date, where we were, what the Lord was doing, who we were with, things that stood out in those seasons, even like maybe what worship songs we were listening to at that time. And it was so good to sit and take time and reflect back. And I just felt like God was saying to me at that time, I've always been writing your story. And to be honest, that was something I could stand on when things were hard. That gave me such comfort and peace when I had doubts or questions or conflicting memories. He said, I've always been writing your story. And God is writing your story. He's inviting you into freedom by turning towards him. Come as you are, let your guard down and trust that the Spirit is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And I just want to say that this place, Belfast City Vineyard, and these leaders are people that you can do this with. You know, I don't know if there's some of you here and you know there's more freedom for you, but there may have been fear of what might happen when you really open up, fear or not sure who to journey this with. This is a good place. There is care here. There's prayer here. There's discernment here. There's such wisdom. There's people you can trust and share your story with. Belfast City Vineyard is a place of freedom. So I wonder if I can ask you today, who are you sharing your story with? When we accept that invitation of God to turn to him and to be transformed and with unveiled faces, he meets us there. And one of the things when I was asking the Lord this question, what does freedom look like? I realized he brings consolation, which is quite a somber word, really. But when we think about it, if we go into those broken places, the brokenheartedness of Isaiah 61, the darkness, maybe some of us are actually today mourning or grieving. Maybe it's a sense of despair. It's not always an easy path. But God brings us consolation. And sometimes it's so tempting to turn towards other things, isn't it? Our culture screams that at us, you know, try this, try that. And when we feel fear or trauma or shame, the culture offers us so many ways to distract, avoid, or numb. C.S. Lewis said this, "Perfect love, we know, casteth out fear, but so do several other things. Ignorance, alcohol, passion, presumption, and stupidity." It's a bit harsh, but like, we have to listen to C.S. Lewis, don't we? Some of us have even used religion or overcompensated with intellectualism or certainty to avoid any sense of intimacy with God or turn towards him. I was so challenged to hear Steve Cuss, a pastor, author, and theologian, say on his Being Human podcast, "Theological certainty is a massive buffer against the fragmentation of trauma." And that made me think of Northern Ireland, to be honest with you, as well, our wee country. Have some of us done that, relied on theological certainty, or perhaps put it in a higher place than it should be, to avoid addressing how we feel inside or who we really are? But all of our idols must bow. The Old Testament calls these broken cisterns, but we know really these false securities ultimately fail. It says in Jeremiah 2:13, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." It's so challenging what John Eldridge, the author, says, "Forgive me for trying to secure my own rescue." I wonder if that's what some of us have been trying to do. And he encourages us in repentance to turn from these false comforts that don't work anymore. He talks about forgiving others who have wounded us so that that resentment doesn't build up in our souls and poison us. And that is not easy. And over these years in counselling and pastoral ministry, what I have admired most of all is the bravery of people who will accept this invitation from Jesus to turn towards him and do this work, because it is work, with his help and with the help of other people. It says in Psalm 109, "But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." So we're inviting that consolation of God into our wounded souls, and he heals us by binding up our broken hearts and putting our broken pieces back together. And we know that he knows us. We know that he knows everything about us. We know that from Psalm 139. He knit us together in our mother's womb. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. All of our days were written in his book before one of them came to be. We don't need to hide anything from him. He knows everything about us and our story. And we see that so clearly as well in Colossians 1. All things have been created through him. In him, all things hold together. And I've been thinking about this so much because we live in an age now, we know so much, don't we? We have so much knowledge. We have hopefully a better awareness of mental health. We've increased understanding of neuroscience. But are we any better? We can know all about our issues. We can explain the psychology and others can help us. And we definitely need that. Believe me, I will always 100% advocate for counselling and therapy. But I was just wondering, as tripartite beings, as body, soul and spirit, how do we bring this together? In Experience Jesus Really, John Eldridge writes, "Clarity does not equate with healing. Understanding does not equate with restoration. I need union with Christ here. That is my need." And it's like we need to be together with Jesus. We need this union, this intimacy with him. That's how we need to bring things together. He calls Jesus the integrating center of all things. And side note, I absolutely love this book. I've bought it for loads of people. It really goes deep into these ideas of refuge and freedom and Jesus bringing our broken parts back together. There's even a beautiful chapter on the breastplate of Patrick. So I'm reading it and digesting it again for the second time. I've already done it with a life group in our church. So if you forget everything I say today, just buy that book and read it. It's so helpful, so wonderful. So what does freedom look like? It looks like integration, and I believe if we respond to Jesus' invitation to receive his consolation, we can integrate those fragmented parts of us. I totally believe God knows what we need and when we need it. He's always writing our story. Just over 6 years ago, a very close friend of ours died suddenly in tragic circumstances. It was absolutely devastating. His wife and children were broken. We, his friends, were broken. Our church was really broken because he was such an integral part of our church family. But where else could we go? What else could we do but turn toward Jesus? I could share lots about that time and many little ways that God consoled me and many of us, but I just wanted to share one with you this morning. I just love worship. I love worship music. And there was a song that had just come around that time. It was called Defender by Rita Springer. It's such a beautiful song. I used to have it on repeat in that season. It really comforted me in my grief. My friend died in September. In November that year, a group of us went up to the women's conference at Causeway Coast Vineyard, Illuminate. And that year, one of the speakers was Rita Springer. They hired a black grand piano, put it on the stage, and at the beginning of the conference, she sang Defender. And here are the words of the bridge of that song. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You're the defender of my heart. That's what God does. He picks up our pieces and puts us back together. He's the defender of our heart. I know this is not an easy journey. Today, what I have given you is a tiny snapshot of something much bigger. It's a lifelong journey. There's always more for each one of us. And I believe Jesus is inviting us today. There's an invitation for freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is here, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We can have hope. We can be very bold. We can, with those unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and be transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. We can know and experience that consolation and comfort that comes to our wounded souls, and he puts our broken pieces back together. Jesus is the integrating center of all things. If you're brokenhearted today, he wants to bind it up. If you're sitting in darkness today, he wants to bring his light. He wants to set us free. He is the one who gives us a crown of beauty instead of ashes and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Over and over, he does this. No matter what life throws at you, he does this. It's not something that just happens once and we're all done. John Eldred says, "You live in a story, not in a painting." And I think this is for each and every one of us here this morning or this afternoon. It's for all of us as individuals. It's for all of us personally. But Belfast City Vineyard, this is not just an individual thing. If you read on in Isaiah 61, what happens to those broken hearts that have been bound up, those captives that have been set free, those oaks of righteousness? It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Freed people, free people. This is your calling. As you understand freedom even more, and that you, as you live in it and you walk in it, I believe God will use you, as he already is, to rebuild and restore and renew this city that has been devastated for generations. I believe there is more for you guys individually and more for you guys as this church. Why don't we stand together? So this morning I want to ask you, will you respond to Jesus' invitation to freedom? He's inviting you, every single one. Come, Lord Jesus. We welcome your presence, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom, I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, he has resurrected me. There's resurrection power here this morning. Nothing is too much for the Lord. His arm is not too short. Lord, we invite your resurrection power to fill each one of us. Come, Jesus. More, Lord. And maybe some of you have that sense of fear, maybe even a fear of turning towards him. What's it like when you lift the veil? What will the Holy Spirit do? He is good. He knows what you need. So, Lord, would you come now and help us remove the veil? You know, like when a bride gets married at a wedding, sometimes she walks down the aisle with the veil down, and then as she reaches the end of the aisle, the veil is lifted. You can walk down that aisle. God will meet you and he will lift the veil. Come, Jesus. Lord, we're sorry for digging our own cisterns. We're sorry for trying to do it our way. All of our idols must bow. We lay them down now, Lord, at the foot of your cross. And if the Lord's reminding you of something, or you know there's something that's stopping you from fully meeting with him, lay it down now at the foot of the cross. Jesus. Let him console you. You can trust him with those broken pieces. Let him put you back together. And just when I was thinking about you guys as a church, God reminded me of the Freedom Riders. The Freedom Riders in 1961 rode interstate buses in the south of America in mixed racial groups to challenge local customs that enforced segregation. I think some of you here are called to be Freedom Riders today. To challenge local ideas and customs, to challenge the separation that exists in our society, in this part of Belfast. You're to mix with others. You're to go against the culture, and it will be costly, but God will use you to bring freedom. And I think Belfast City Vineyard, you're to sing freedom songs over this city, over this island. This is a house of worship. This church is known for worship and you're to sing freedom songs, let those songs come. If God's really stirring something in you about any of the things that we've sung about in worship, any of the things that I have shared, we would love to stand with you and pray with you. God wants us to respond to that invitation. So that's what we're going to do now. So maybe the ministry team would like to come, and if you guys would just like to come and say yes to God. Yes, I long for more freedom. Or Lord, I need you to console me. I need you to come to those broken parts and put those pieces back together. We'd love to pray with you. So why don't we come now?
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.